Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. There's one truth you must keep in mind as we study the book of James, or you'll get tripped. Number one, the book of James, written to brethren, those who have been begotten by the Word of God and are kind of first fruits unto the Lord. In other words, the book of James is written to Christians. Secondly, the book of James is writing about the salvation of the soul and not the salvation of the spirit, as is the book of Romans. The key to that is in the 21st verse of the first chapter, where the last few words speak of that which is able to save your souls. Speaking of the salvation of the souls of people who are already saved. Now, our study this evening begins with the 22nd verse, which is inexplicable if one knows not those truths to which I've just referred. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Every commentator, after which I've had the privilege of reading, says that if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer only, you're not saved. And nothing could be further from the truth. Notice, but be ye. You be doers of the word. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, it's to them to whom he's speaking. Verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I don't know whether you have a flair for English grammar or not, but the word there, be ye doers, is the present tense. Keep on being doers of the word. That's what he's talking about. And not hearers only. The salvation of the soul is involved in the doing. The salvation of the spirit involved in hearing. Book of James, chapter 1. Now, look with me for just a moment in the 10th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is talking about saving faith. Now remember Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works. So doing the word does not enter into salvation at all. Not of works. Not doing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now in the 18th verse of this first chapter of James, it speaks of our being begotten. We do not beget ourselves by doing the word. We are begotten by hearing the word. So the plea we have here from the Holy Spirit through James is that we're to keep on being doers of the word. I don't know whether your experience as a Christian is average experience or not, but many an individual, having been saved, soon after their salvation, they vitally interested in the Lord, the word of the Lord, the work of the Lord, and as a general rule, very zealous for the works of the Lord. But in time, their ardor begins to cool, fail, and settle down into rut of doing nothing, so that the message to us could well be, keep on being doers of the word and not just hearers only. Don't be satisfied just to be saved. Do something for the Lord. What shall I do for the Lord? Once again, I refer you to Ephesians 2 and 10, wherein we're told that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it becomes incumbent upon us soon after or immediately after our salvation to ask the Lord, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? Where do You want me to serve? Be ye doers of the word. The Lord speaks to us through His word. I'm amazed that seemingly orthodox, evangelical, fundamental Christians today who talking about the Lord coming and standing there and talking to Him. The Lord tells them to do this and the Lord tells them to do that. The Lord speaks to us through His word. In that connection, turn with me for just a moment to Hebrews. That's just back one book, Hebrews chapter 1. This is a passage of Scripture many a Christian needs to learn today. They be not swept away by many of these groups that are showing up, taking their toll of people who are ignorant of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. God, who at sundry times, that is, at different times, God spoke to Adam and Eve, God spoke to Moses, God spoke to Isaiah, different times God spoke. He didn't tell them all at the same time. God, who at various and sundry times and in divers manners, many different ways, Sometimes he spoke in dreams. Sometimes, as to Moses, he spoke out of the burning bush. Sometimes he spoke to them as he appeared face to face. Many different ways. Time passed unto the fathers by the prophet. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by or literally as Son. God spoke as Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. God has spoken to us. Those of us of the New Testament, those of us of this era of grace, he's spoken to us as Son, by his Son, through his Son. And we have what he's spoken in the New Testament. Here's his message to us. Here's his message to us. We have the prohibition of taking from this, the prohibition of adding to this. The word of the Lord says, you recall Jesus in his confrontation with Satan, said, it is written. The second time he said, it is written. And the third time he said, it is written. And that's what we're to do. The Word of God. Now, the reason so many people have to talk about experiences they purportedly have with the Lord is because of their ignorance of the Word of God. God has spoken to us in his Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, which we're told in the same epistle, will truly equip the man of God for every good work. The man of God needs nothing outside of this book to be thoroughly equipped for the service of the Lord. Before one can be a doer of the word, he must have heard the word. In the seven messages to the churches of Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord says in each, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And what the Spirit saith to the churches recorded in Revelation 2 and 3. And you there, you hear. Now, prayer, literally and really, is communion with the Lord. And communion with the Lord implies conversation. You speak, and then God speaks. You speak, and then God speaks. Some prayers, I fear, are like some phone conversations. In years gone by, I have had individuals call me on the phone, ask me a question before I could answer it, start giving me their answer, and talk for an hour. Never give me a chance to say a word. Now, I'm not exaggerating. It doesn't take one long talk, an hour. But never listen. And that's why many people in their prayers, they just talk to the Lord. They never listen to the Lord. The proper attitude for prayer will find you with an open Bible. You read. And then you stop and you talk to the Lord. You read some more. After a while, you come to a passage. You realize that the Lord is speaking to you out of that passage of Scripture. Now, be a doer of the Word. One cannot be a doer of the Word unless he knows the Word. And one cannot know the Word unless he reads it. Many people err grievously in this. They say, well, the Holy Spirit told me this and the Holy Spirit told me that. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he is come, will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you in this, and he will call to your remembrance things you've read in the Word of God. And he's not going to tell you something you haven't read in God's Word. And if you're not a student of the Word, and if you don't daily read his Word, he cannot call things out of the Word to your remembrance. But he'll call them to your remembrance. Now be doers of the Word and not hearers only. The hearer of the Word is one who's saved. Of course, another difficulty people have in accepting the truth as it's brought out here in the book of James is that they've been told by somebody somewhere down the line that if one didn't bear fruit, that was evidence they hadn't been saved. They never yet learned the truth of the Word of God that one can be saved and go to heaven and not have a single good work to their credit. I don't find very many people that believe that, and that's God Almighty's truth. Because salvation is by grace. And being by grace, no work can enter in. Faith is not even a good work. We're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that all of man's works can be destroyed, but he himself be saved, yet so as through fire. Well, you say what you want to. I just don't believe they've ever been saved. They don't know what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross when he suffered and bled and died for our sins. They have no appreciation of the fact that Jesus paid it all. Hearers of the Word, what must I do to be saved? Nothing. That's the good news. That's the good news. There's no good news in telling me I got to quit this and got to quit that and do this and do that. Maybe I'll be saved if I hold out. There's no good news in that. Very seldom I ever find any good news somebody telling me to do anything. You want a little play on words? I like this myself. Salvation is good news. The gospel of grace is good news. It's not good advice. Now, if you can distinguish between news and advice, you can see the difference. Salvation is not something for you to do. Salvation is something that's already been done for you. And that's the good news. I never thought seriously along that until, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, I'd finished a sermon on hell. And a dear old brother came down and he said, "Now, preacher, that's what I call the gospel." Well, I got to think about it and went home. What good news was there in hell? What good news was in a sermon on hell? There's no good news there. The good news we're to proclaim to the whole world is Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. You ought to repeat that 1,000 times. You ought to repeat that till you go to sleep tonight. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. I don't atone for them. I don't do penance for them. Christ died for them. Christ died for our sins. Now, what must I do to be saved? Nothing. Nothing. When Cornelius was seeking from God someone to tell him the way of salvation, he was told by an angel of the Lord to send over Joppa and get a certain man who would come and tell him words whereby he'd be saved. Tell him words whereby he'd be saved. Not tell him of works he could do or works he must do to be saved, but get him and he'll tell you words whereby you'll be saved. And he was saved by words. I was saved by words. The words were, "Christ died for your sins. I believe that he saved me." The words. Now, and being a hearer of the word, I was saved. As I said a moment ago, this being in the present tense brings out very clearly. Be ye, 22. You keep on doing the word and not just be a hearer only. Be a worker. And don't be satisfied just to be saved. It's amazing how many people in this life are satisfied, and they so state satisfied to get to heaven by the skin of the teeth, just so I'm saved, that's all about it. You can have the crowns, you can have the rewards, you can have all this and that, just so I get to heaven, that's all I want. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass or in the mirror. He beholdeth himself, he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. One who is hearer of the word, one who is saved and saved only in his spirit and is not letting the Lord use him and is not doing that which the Lord would have him to do, comes in the same class of those mentioned in the Epistle of Peter, which he said, "You have forgotten. You have forgotten that you've been cleansed or purged from your sins. You've forgotten you've been saved. You've forgotten. You've forgotten." Sometimes a very wholesome exercise for Christians to go back to that moment when they came to know the Lord as their Savior. Relive that in your own personal experience. When you were saved. Now, if you're just satisfied to be saved, not interested in doing anything for the Lord, there'll come times when you'll forget that you've been saved. There'll come times when you'll even doubt your salvation. But if you're a doer of the word, you're not bothered with that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, 25, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The perfect law of liberty, looking into that, We had that recently in our study of 1 Corinthians 13. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done. Away with that which is perfect is the law of liberty. There are those who think that 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He, when He is come, then that which is in part will be done away, and this then will be full, or filled full, or fulfilled, or completed. But the Lord never appeared anywhere in part, so it's not referring to Him at all, but there we have the word in part. In part. But when that which is perfect is come, then this which is in part shall be done away. And that's when knowledge ceased, and that's when prophecy ceased, and that's when tongues ceased, and that's when all those others so-called charismatic gifts ceased, when that which is perfect was come, the perfect law of liberty. When the canon of the Scripture was completed, those things were gone and they were done with. They had part of the Scripture, but then when that which was complete, mature, perfected came, then that which was in part was done away. And it's done away and it's gone. I don't need a snake striking me all over my body with immunity to prove that I'm a messenger from God. This book says that if I speak not according to this book, then it's because the truth is not in me. So if you want to know whether I'm a messenger from God or not, you just search your Bible and see if the things which I'm telling you are in the Word of God. If they're in the Word of God, then you know I'm from the Lord, and I'm a servant of the Lord. Lots of people handle snakes that aren't from God and have nothing to do with God. Now, if any man among you seem to be religious, literally that could be translated, if any man among you thinks he is religious. This is not you or me thinking he's religious. He thinks himself to be very religious. Now, if any man among you thinks himself to be very religious, I don't know whether to pursue this any further or not. And bridleth not his tongue. Bridleth not his tongue. I mentioned once before where we read up here where we were to be slow to speak and swift to hear. I mentioned the fact that God gave us one tongue and two ears. As if we are to listen more than we are to talk. What trouble is caused by the tongue? I've had lots of earnest Christians speak to me of the debilitating effect of the television on the morals of the people. I ask some, have you ever considered the effect of the telephone on the morals of the people? I don't know whether the television outdoes the telephone or not. Let me tell you what I heard. And the fire has been set and it spreads. The test of genuineness as referred to here is a bridling the tongue. If any man among you thinks he's very religious, I've seen some who thought they were religious. They even told me they were. If you're a religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted. I've seen some who thought they were religious. They even told me they were. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. The difference between religion and Christianity is to be found in the fact that religion is what one does in the hope of pleasing God or appeasing God, as the case may be. Some want to please him by doing something positive. Then there are those who want to appease him because of something negative they've done contrary to his will. Religion is what man does. Christianity is what Christ has done. Religion is do. Christianity is done. Now, acts pleasing to God, honoring God, man doing something, let him visit the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows in their affliction. That means, first of all, you visit the orphans and the widows at the time of the death of the father and the husband. Customs change. I don't know for better or worse. In my first pastorate in 1933, that was 43 years ago this month. I entered the pastorate January the 1st, 1933. I just hadn't thought of it. This is almost my 43rd anniversary. That's something. But out in the rural community where I was pastor, when individual died, members of the family prepared the body for burial. No stranger touched that body. It's a custom change, you know. They'd go to town, get a casket. Some member of the family sat with that body from the time death came until they were buried. The whole community would come in and sit with them. During my first 2 years in the pastorate, I always got the fourth watch. They always wanted me to sit from 4 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock. Well, they didn't mind. I'd usually go at midnight and sit, talk about the Word, talk about the Lord. Neighbors brought in food. Neighbors, they cared for everything. those days they visited the widows and the orphans at the time, in their affliction, not after their affliction, but in their affliction, the time of their affliction. Take care. Of course, we have come into that state of civilization. Anything has to be done, we just say, here, you see to that, will you? We go on about our way. Pay somebody to do those things for us. Well, I know customs change, and I know all of these things change, but I just mentioned, some of you may remember those. You may remember those days. Pure religion and undefiled is to visit, and that visit means more than just going and saying hi. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. To visit them, you go in and you do something. You don't ask if there's anything you can do. The widows and the orphans in the time of their affliction. Well, that's pretty easy to do. Then he mentions something that's more difficult, and keep himself unspotted from the world. The Christian has three great enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Any one of which keeps us in trouble. The flesh can keep you in trouble. The devil can keep you in trouble. Trying to keep up with the world can keep you in trouble. And you can get spotted when you get out in the world. When I first came here in 1949, practically every place of business was burning coal. And during that time that I was here, it was cold weather, and I saw more than one lady with a white coat or white fur and then spots of soot all over it. You couldn't walk down the street without getting spots of soot on it. Now, we're walking through this world, and we've got a difficult task to keep ourselves unspotted as we go through this world. You hear something from outside, stimulates thoughts, results in deeds displeasing to the Lord. You see something that stirs up and creates desires that's displeasing to the Lord. If you've been around water much, little ponds or little tanks, maybe you've seen a little bubble on top of the water, and you watch a bubble and it moves. You look real close, you'll find a little bug inside that bubble. But he can move all the water with that bubble. He has an atmosphere within that bubble that's peculiar to him, to the bug. And he doesn't like to be outside of that. As we go through this world, we can have the Spirit in us and around us, living in His Word, have a protection to help keep us unspotted from the world as we go through it. But it takes a little effort on our place. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit, minister unto, help take care of the orphans and the widows in the time of their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. The power of prayer is manifest in this instance more than anything else. You see something, you hear something, stimulating thoughts, desires, displeasing to God. In that moment, stop and call upon the Lord for help. Lord, help me. Lord help me. We can't always keep from seeing, neither can we keep from hearing these things, but we don't have to cherish them and nurture them as they come along. I think Martin Luther is credited with this statement. He said he couldn't keep a bird from flying over his head, but he could keep him from building a nest in his hair. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. I want you to take this text home with you. And with this I close. Verse 22. Keep on being doers of the word and not hearers only. The issue of the judgment seat of Christ is going to be determined by what we've done in this body of flesh between the time of salvation and our departure from this life. Give an account of the deeds done in the body, done in the flesh. Now, keep on being doers of the word and not just hearers only. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Should be the prayer of every one of us, every close our eyes in sleep tonight. Father, bless this meditation to our good, to thine honor and glory, for Christ's sake. Amen.